bow our heads. Father God, in this moment that we lift your name and sing of the power of your blood, there are those here in this room that some of them are sitting on a spiritual fence. Some of them are standing at the edge of a major decision. And Lord, I pray that in these next moments together, as we open up the Word of God, as we sing of your glory, that you will shake us and perhaps go as far as break us if needed, in order for us to move our lives into ultimate worship of you, that you are the highest priority and the number one allegiance of our hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen. Morning, Warehouse. It's been a little bit. I want to do a live poll here in a minute, but this is going to be a very easy decision for you because we're going to do a versus. So if you had to choose, between being comfortable versus uncomfortable, many of us here in this room would choose to seek that which is comfortable. We'll see that here in a minute. So if you had to choose between going camping, not glamping, I know that there's some of you here that have motorhomes, and you say, we're going camp. That's not camping. I'm talking about in the woods, not a place where you can plug in a blow dryer. You're in a hammock. You're in a tent. It could be hot. It could be cold. It could be wet. It could be sleet. You're sleeping on about this thick of a bed called your sleeping pad. And there's animals that could kill you. Uncomfortable. Would you rather go camping versus go to a resort? So let's take just a hand poll. How many of you out there, raise your hand, would choose to go camping? All right, there's like three crazy people you don't want to hang out with. So those are the people you avoid at all costs. So here's another one, and this is not really. This is more of an observation than a poll. I gotta be very careful because I'm about to talk about women. And there's a lot of you out there, and I'm going over here because my wife is on this side. So here's the deal. This is just an observation about women. Women, you choose to be uncomfortable. Why? Because you choose to wear high heels. All the time you choose to wear high heels. No one naturally walks like this. I'm having a calf cramp right there. I just had a calf cramp. So no one chooses that. By the way, those are nice, right? For those of you who are shoe junkies, this pair of high heels is north of $3 million. Yeah, those are all diamonds. It's made in Singapore somewhere by some fancy person. But you choose that, and here's what I want to suggest. If you had to choose, because you don't wear stuff like this around the house to work out in the yard or to walk around the neighborhood because it's uncomfortable, but you choose it. And I don't understand why, but you choose it. When you could choose wearing a pair of Crocs. Yeah, those guys, listen, the cheapest, most comfortable shoes you will ever own, and rednecks will love you. It's just amazing. But ladies, I've got something for you. It's a prototype. You can have style and comfort. Check these out. Style and comfort. You can pull this off because I'm worried about you wanting to be uncomfortable when you come to church or go to work. So style and comfort, you can choose that. There's also this thing called comfort food. We even have a category of comfort food. We love comfort food. My comfort food, it's pizza. I love me some pizza. I'm sorry talking about food right now because some of you might be a little hangry. So I love a good pizza. So how many of you would choose this? Would you rather eat comfort food or a big giant bowl of broccoli? Raise your hand if you would like to eat broccoli over comfort food. What is wrong with a few of you? Just my goodness. Some of you might have some food allergies or whatever, but my. Okay, so the last one. So I'm getting a little tired of you show-offs in this room because I see you post these pictures of your watch to let the world know how many miles you ran this morning. And so that's an uncomfortable thing to do, to run 36 miles and then I just ran 36 miles, now I'm going to church. And some of you like that. You love to run. I get that. One of the most famous scenes in a movie is Rocky Balboa running on the beach. But I want you to notice something. Running is not comfortable. Running is not a happy place. Maybe for some of you, it's kind of crazy. But I want you to zoom in on Rocky Balboa's face real quick. Does he look happy? Does he look comfortable? In fact, all those of you who drive by somebody who you can see running on the side of the road, have you ever seen a happy runner? That's crazy. So I have never once seen that yet, of a runner that's just smiling. I just love to run in Florida. And they all look like that to me. All of them. But here's another thing. If you had to choose between running or sitting on a couch, which would you prefer? This is Sierra. Sierra is sitting on a couch at Senior Cruise, and she's on a cruise sitting on a couch. Look how happy she is. Sitting on a couch. Let's go back to Rocky Balboa real quick. Look how sad he is. Let's go back to Sierra. Look how happy she is. So if you had a choice, would you rather choose being comfortable, Sierra's happy, or uncomfortable? How many of you would just go for a run right now? We'd stop church, let you go on a run. Yeah, there's two of you, very good. Enjoy that sweat. Much of what we do in life is to seek that which is comfortable. We even do this when we think about our future. We try real hard to figure out, okay, what am I going to take in college so that I can have a career that will pay me enough so that I'm, what? Comfortable, have a comfortable living so that one day I can retire and what? Retire comfortably. So we do this. Much of what we do in life is to seek that which is comfortable. However, this pursuit or desire to be comfortable, I believe it influences and seeps into how we follow Jesus. Being comfortable is the polar opposite of everything it means to be a follower of Jesus. When it comes to following Jesus, here's a couple of questions that I want you to ponder. You'll see them up on the screen. When it comes to following Jesus, what line are you not willing to cross? When it comes to following Jesus, what is the threshold of your pain? Someone's going to get the threshold of pain with that phone over there. When it comes to following Jesus, at what point do you tap out and say, I'm out, I'm done? What is too uncomfortable for you when it comes to following Jesus? It's getting uncomfortable, isn't it? Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 people. Some little kid came and brought his Lunchables, and Jesus broke up the Lunchables and fed 5,000 people. 5,000 people were filled with food that Jesus multiplied. There was no one in the audience that was hungry anymore. There was no one in the audience that was hangry anymore. Jesus had filled them. And then it says that he began to teach. Jesus began to teach the crowd that their bellies were full. And this is what happened at the end of his teaching. Listen carefully. John chapter 6, verse 60. On hearing it, what? Hearing Jesus' teaching, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Verse 66. Listen carefully. From this time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed Jesus. Could you imagine walking away from the Messiah? Have you ever read that before? They walked away from Jesus. And in verse 67, he looks at the 12 disciples. And he says, "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" See, Jesus did it. He did not soften his message to keep the crowd. He lets them walk away. Jesus allowed them to make a choice. And they chose to be comfortable. And they walked away from whatever Jesus was saying that made them uncomfortable. It was a hard teaching. So this group of disciples found the line that they were not willing to cross. They found out where they were going to tap out. They found out what was too uncomfortable. And they walked away from Jesus. Luke 14, later on, that crowd diminished. And then all of a sudden, here's another big crowd. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Large crowds. If I was a disciple, I would be like, "Oh, this is great. The movement is growing. The crowd is here again. Jesus won't chase them away this time." And so they're real proud because the crowd is growing again. And then it says here that, and turning to them, Jesus said. It's like if I was a disciple, it's like, Jesus, don't say much. Because we lost a lot of people last time. You see, what's Jesus doing here? Jesus is thinning the crowd. He wants to know if they are willing to get uncomfortable. It's a reality check. He wants committed disciples, not just fans that will just show up. He doesn't want cheerleaders on the sidelines. He wants people to get into the trenches. See, the crowd always shows up for the show. The crowd always shows up for the food. The crowd always shows up for the entertainment. The crowd always shows up for the experience. The crowd always shows up for the new trend or something new. The crowd always shows up until they are called to make a commitment that will make them uncomfortable. The crowd always shows up. And so back to Luke chapter 14, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, this is what Jesus says. Imagine hearing this from the lips of Jesus. This is bizarre stuff, uncomfortable stuff. He looks at him and he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, he covers the whole family. Yes, look what he adds, even your own life. Such a person, whoo, this is hard. Such a person cannot be my disciple. That's tough. Large crowds are listening to this coming off of Jesus' lips. So I have a question. Was Jesus anti-family? I mean, just reading this and nothing else, you would think, whoa, what's Jesus saying about family here? I thought he was a family values guy. And he was. He is. Matthew 15, he was quoting the fifth commandment to honor your mother and your father. And he also, on the cross, just a few moments before he dies, he looks down at his mother and he makes sure that his mother is taken care of. And so Jesus had this method of teaching. And it was hyperbole, is this method of teaching. And this is a form of deliberate exaggeration to make a strong point. For instance, raise your hand if you have a Spanish mother. Raise your hand. Okay. So you know what it means for a deliberate exaggeration to make a strong point. First time I ever brought my friends to the house, they were not used to this deliberate exaggeration. And if I annoyed my mother or did something, she would say, I'm going to kill you. And all my friends were very sheepish and walked to my room. But I knew that that was just a deliberate exaggeration, that I'm not going to kill you, but it may come close. If I have something in my hand, a wood spoon, you're going to get it. A chancleta, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. But it's a deliberate exaggeration to make a really strong point. The word hate does not mean to feel that animosity or hostility. Jesus uses strong language to emphasize radical commitment required to be a disciple. Discipleship isn't casual. It demands total allegiance. Do we know what that is? Even the most precious human relationship must take second place to obedience to Christ. It's a call to complete devotion, even at the cost of family approval, comfort, or self-preservation. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 10, he warned that loyalty to him may bring division even among family members. I did not come to bring peace. This is the context. He's talking about family. I came to bring a sword. deliberate exaggeration to prove a point. So Jesus isn't teaching literal hatred, but a higher loyalty than family. Jesus then includes this on the list. He says, mentions every part of the family, mother, father, wife, brother, sister, child. And then he adds this to the list. Even your own life. Even your own life. This shows that discipleship requires a willingness to deny yourself, even to the point of suffering and death. This is extreme teaching of Jesus, and it's uncomfortable. It's amazing. In the last 10 years, there's been a shift in self-help books. And they've moved away from biblical principles that they used to take from without quoting scripture. And it's interesting because in these, and I don't want to diminish this if these are important to you, but it's almost the reverse of what Jesus is saying. A lot of what some of these books share is love yourself, love yourself, love yourself, culture, love yourself, love yourself. And Jesus says, deny yourself, deny yourself. Deny yourself. His very next statement is, whoever does not carry their cross. What's a cross? It's a torture device. Modernize that. Well, we have the electric chair. Whoever does not carry their electric chair, whoever does not carry their waterboarding set, whoever does not carry their cross, and follow me, says, cannot be my disciple. Tough teaching, uncomfortable teaching. And just because Jesus doesn't have any cracks in what he wants from his disciples, just because Jesus wants to be really clear, he adds this at the end. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. What attachments do you have in this world that distract you from ultimate loyalty and allegiance to Jesus as your highest priority? What have you put before Jesus? Jesus is calling for absolute commitment. He is saying that allegiance to him must be greater than any other attachment. And if you were to boil down this teaching of Jesus, I think he would say, to make it super simple, if you want to be comfortable in this world, you probably shouldn't follow Jesus. It's tough. So this is kind of a rare thing that I want you to do. Some of you are already doing it. So I'm sort of calling you out. Pull out your phones for 1 second. Don't let it distract you. Don't check your snap. Open up your camera. And I want you to take a picture of these two questions because I want you to wrestle with these two questions, especially this week. When was the last time you were uncomfortable for the sake of God? You got that picture? I should move out of the way, huh? Or I should pose, one or the other. Next one. When was the last time it was risky for you to fully follow Jesus? And so here are some examples of not everyone's situation. It might be your situation. But what does following Jesus look like to you right now? And here's what I want you to think about. It may require you to leave your job. It may require you to leave your job because your job is sucking the life out of you and it is emptying your soul. You have committed more time, energy, and emotion to the success of your organization versus to the success of your allegiance to Jesus. Now just let that sit on whoever needs, that's not everybody, I'm not blanket stating anything here, but if that's you, maybe that's something that's stirring. And maybe it's not worth it. Maybe you say, I need to leave my job. Here's what's really scary. It may require you to change careers. Maybe you're 10, 15 years into your career. Some of you may have already done this. For those of you who are seniors going off to college, it may require you not to go to the college that you thought you were supposed to go to. Or it may require you, parents don't kill me, not to go to a traditional college at all. Listen to this one. Following Jesus may require you to walk away from a toxic relationship. Could be a family member. It could be a boyfriend. Could be a girlfriend. Could be a friend with benefits. Full of toxicity and dragging your soul down. How about this? Enrique, you just finished your first year at Florida State University. I'm glad he's alive. Enrique was right around the corner of the shooter. Crazy. Less than a 45-second walk, and he was headed to right where the shooting was. But it might require you to change your degree. And that might disappoint some parents. This can affect a lot of us. It may, following Jesus, may require you to delete all of your social media. Does that give you anxiety, teenagers? And this one's a little touchy. It may require you to let go of all of your political agendas, political ideologies that have created a strange identity within you. You've lost friends over crazy arguments that aren't even about Jesus. And here's one that might get me in trouble. It might require you to stop just attending church. This is easy. This is comfortable. I mean, it's not a couch that you're sitting on, but you're sitting. But it may require you to stop just attending church and to become a disciple that makes disciples that make disciples. That doesn't happen here. That happens for the rest of your time outside of a building. And sometimes we checkmark the spiritual things that we need to get done. Church, prayer before meals, prayer before bed. Check, 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 check. We don't even have a discipleship check. And it will be uncomfortable. It will be risky. There is no growth without discomfort. There is no growth without discomfort. And there's no need for a savior if life is always comfortable. Let that sit. Let that sit on your soul for a little bit. Less than 2 weeks ago, I get a text message from a young man that is a junior in high school. Have permission to share this. He says, "Hey, Pastor Mark, recently I feel like God has been challenging me. Uncomfortable. I've been through difficult times recently. Uncomfortable. But I feel like it was all a test of my faith, growth. From that, I feel like my relationship with God has set me on fire. I'm more spiritually in tune. I feel connected to Jesus. I feel like I'm talking to Him and He's answering. I want to keep being challenged and keep being on fire. But what's the next step? What is the next step for Jesus? I don't want to be comfortable." That's what he's stating. "I don't want to be stagnant. I'm done with the stuff that I put my identity towards. I'm all in. I've got nothing to lose. What's the next step?" Pull out your cameras one more time. This is one more question I want you to wrestle with. What is the one uncomfortable thing God is challenging me to do this week? What is the one uncomfortable thing that God is challenging me to do this week? I don't know if you've been sitting on a fence of decision, or you're sitting on the edge and you just don't know how to jump because you don't know how far it will take you before you land. But I'm praying that God will move in your heart, in your soul, to just take that leap. So worth it. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? I want to ask a young man to come up here. Yeah, I'm making you nervous. You didn't know I was going to do this, did you? Come here. I don't need to help you. You're a man. Come on. You can get up here. Austin is the sophomore that sent me. Junior. Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Austin is the junior that sent me that text. "I don't want to be comfortable." And I'm going to have prayer, and I want you to join me in praying for him, because that next step is not an easy step. It's the toughest step you'll ever make, but it's the most rewarding. The risk is you have nothing to lose, because Jesus has got you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for Austin. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint his mind and his heart. I pray, Lord, that you will make him a man of God that is fearless to step into whatever challenge you call him to. I pray, Lord, that you will open the doors and he will step into those doors fearlessly with ultimate allegiance to to you. Bring him people that need to know Jesus. And whatever decisions that he makes, let the first thing be, will it glorify God? Will it make the name of Jesus famous once again? Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to join you in whatever you're calling me to do, whatever uncomfortable place or person you are sending me to. Send him, Lord. I pray that over him, Lord, that you will surround him by your Spirit and agitate his soul to never settle, but to pursue you. Satan wants a piece of him. He wants to tear him apart. And I pray that you will destroy Satan's plans, confuse the devil. And Lord, I pray for anybody in this room that wants to make this decision to step into that uncomfortable space for you to follow you, ultimate allegiance. I pray that they will do this in this moment and that they will take the steps in action this week as they contemplate and wrestle with these questions. I pray, Lord, that you will change us to not ever be comfortable, to not ever be complacent, to not be lukewarm, but to be driven and on fire for you always. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.